must be invested back into the kingdom. Jesus told this parable to remind us that what we have is not ours. God has given us gifts and abilities and talents, and we must invest them and use them to His glory. A day of accountability is coming. If you are not actively pursuing ways to advance God's work, using your talents for His kingdom, then you are failing the Master. I need to say that again. I said, if you are not actively using what God has given you in the way of your talents to advance God's kingdom, then you are failing the Master. Jesus told the story of a master with three servants. The master went on a journey and gave each servant a specific amount of money or talents. And the talents were of silver, and talents came in a variety of weights, generally somewhere between about 60 and 80 pounds per talent. Thus, the master had entrusted his servants with a considerable amount of money. The amounts were in keeping with, the Bible says, each man's abilities. The master entrusted them, he had faith in them that they would do what was right. And the master, after giving them the talents, the Bible says, took a journey to a far country. Stop by to tell us today and remind us that Jesus came to earth, lived among mankind for 33 plus years, demonstrated the love of the Father, our God, was rejected of man, scorned, scourged, bruised, battered, bludgeoned, hung, bled, and died, was resurrected, lived among mankind for another 40 days after his resurrection. And then he took a cloud and left on a far journey. I'm going somewhere. Left on a journey back to heaven. And just like the master in this parable came back, and the servants had to give an account of what they had accomplished with what the master left them, Jesus is coming back again. And each of us must give an account as to what we have done with the gifts, abilities, and talent that the Holy Spirit has given us. The parable of the talent stresses the need to serve the master while he is away. There are three things God has or would have us to examine today in this parable. Three things. The first is God has given us the responsibility to work with that which he has given us. God has given us the responsibility to work with that which he has given us. Matthew 25 and 15 reads, "And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey." Now, different amounts, though all were very large, were given to each servant according to his ability. And the return expected was in proportion to the sum entrusted. God recognizes that we are all different and expects of us only what is appropriate. It is significant that the two successful servants received the identical commendations. They received the identical praise, the identical admiration, the identical applause from the master, even though the scale of their original responsibility were different. God holds us responsible for using what he has given us, and our reward is the same. When we act responsibly with that which God has given us. Y'all don't wait on me down the road. Let's pray with me a little while. A few days ago, in fact, it was last Monday, President's Day, I took the day off. My wife was out of school, the girls was off. I spent some time with my wife and daughters doing a bit of shopping. And as I was roaming through one of the stores, one of the stories. I met an 85-year-old woman whose name is Milka, M-I-L-K-A, 85-year-old Serbian woman. And we detected very quickly that we were both children of God through Christ. And interestingly enough, we embarked upon a conversation about using talents and being responsible with the talents and abilities that God has given us. And Mother Milka, I started to call her because of her obvious wisdom. Mother Milka, she said, "You know, we insult God when we are not responsible with the talents He has given us." She said, "We insult God when we are not responsible with what God has given us to work." You don't want to insult God, do you? And I thought about it, Brother Deacons. I thought about it for a minute. I thought about it a bit, and some examples of what Mother Milka said came to my mind. And the thought occurred to me that it is an insult to God to be blessed with the talent of teaching and won't teach His word. It's an insult to God to know the theories of teaching and the techniques and methods of teaching, but won't teach. That's all right. Just be quiet. Just be quiet. Listen. It's an insult to God, my mind ran to be a coach and not want to coach young men and young women in this Christian race. It is an insult to God to be a businessman or a businesswoman and be slack in conducting God's business. It's an insult to God to be a nurse or have medical skills and don't want to have anything to do with the nurse's guild or health ministry in your church. It's an insult to be a salesperson and never sell anyone on the gospel of Jesus. And the list goes on and on and on and on. God did not just give you talents and abilities so that you could make a living. He gave them to us so that we could build lives and build His kingdom. I'm going to get some help in here in a minute. God has trusted each of us with talents and abilities, and He expects us to use them to His glory. It doesn't matter whether you have 5 talents, 2 talents, or 1 talent. Use what you have to God's glory. The Master is coming back, and He will hold each of us responsible for every ounce. He will hold us responsible for every drop, every smidgen, every morsel, and every bit of every talent that He has placed in us. Yeah. Responsibility. And then second, God expects reliability. Reliability in those who work for Him. Matthew 25, 16 through 18 reads, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and what traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had 2, he had also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and dig in the ground and hid his Lord's money." Lord have mercy. God expects reliability in those who work for Him. In science, a test is considered reliable when it consistently produces the same results. I'm going to say that again because somebody wasn't listening. You need to know what reliability is. Reliability in science is when you consistently produce the same results. The test is reliable. Let me give you another example. A scale that you weigh something on is considered reliable when it consistently weighs the same weight. If I get on the scale at my house in the morning and it weighs 200, and I come in at lunchtime and it weighs 260, and I get on in the evening and it weighs 150, the scale is not, it's not reliable. God expects some reliability in the scale, whether it is a ton other fellows, or a ton of steel, the scale consistently weighs the weight as one ton. Listen, God expects us to be consistent in what we do for Him. Whatever your talent, be consistent in using it for the Lord. Be constant in using what you have for the Lord. Be steadfast and unmovable in using what you have been given by the Master. Be regular. And the older I get, the better I understand regularity. Be regular. Servants were faithful in caring for the master's money and were rewarded for their faithfulness with an additional wealth and an additional responsibilities, and above all, sharing in the master's joy. If you want to share in the master's joy when he comes, you must be reliable with what God has given you. We must have regularity about us in using what God has given us in order to share in the master's joy. Look at the words of the master used to describe those who used their talents and the one who did not use his talents. For those who used their talents, the master described them as good and faithful. Yeah. Find that in verses 21 and 23. And for the one who did not use his talent, the master described him as slothful. Yeah. Now I had to go look at that word slothful just for a minute. And it meant to be intentionally lazy. They were deliberate in their effort to be lazy. You're sorry. And the Bible says slothful and wicked. And I looked at that word wicked. I just had to look at those two. The word wicked implies that he was working, but he was working with the wrong aim in mind. So there are some folk in the church that are working. Oh, y'all, that's all right. Just listen. Their aim is wrong. Amen. Their activities are wrong, but they're active. The slothful and wicked servant was separated from the master, and the good and faithful servant, with the right aim, with the right goal, they were called to enter the joy of the master. I'm just about done here now. About it, but I want to enter the master's joy and hear the master say, "Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant." To share in the master's joy, we must be reliable. We must work for the master every place we can. We must work every time we can and as long as we can. To share in the master's joy, we must give the master what we can, when we can, and where we can. And we have a responsibility to use what God has given us, and God expects us to be consistent in using what He has given us to His glory. My brothers and my sisters, the word to the wise should be sufficient. A word of warning is good for us because the Master is coming back. Can I get a witness? A word of warning is good for us because my third point is God's day of accountability is on the way. God's day of accountability is on the way. Matthew 25 and 19 reads, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants, amen, cometh. And he reckoneth with them." In other words, they had to get their books out. Amen. This was an accounting procedure. They had to give an account for what they had did, what they had done with what the Lord, the master, had given them. And upon his return, the master meets all of the servants. Amen. Until Christ comes, we are to use every resource, every talent he has given us in his service. It is exciting to know that whatever our talent may be, 1, 2, or 5, our reward is based on our faithfulness, not the size of our achievement. Ain't God good? We must give account for the effort we have made to use what God has given us. I told you this about done. Now the Bible says, as we continue to read there in the 25th chapter, the Bible says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, the Bible said, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats he shall set on the left side. Then the Bible says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The Bible says, for I was hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Jesus said, naked, and you clothed me. He said, I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall say unto them, verily, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brother, you've done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them that's on the left hand side, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungry, and you gave me no meat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. He says, I was a stranger, and you took me not in. He says, I was naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall this also answer, saying, Lord, when saw we a hungry? Or when saw we a thirst? Or when saw we a stranger? Or when saw we a naked or sick? Of when saw we in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall the master say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to the one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go out into everlasting punishment. But the Bible says, the righteous shall enter into life eternal. Ain't God good? Somebody tell you that my righteousness is through Jesus Christ. Ain't the Lord all right? The master who gives us talents to use to his glory. Ain't the Lord all right? And beyond giving me talents, and beyond giving you talents, one Friday, he gave himself for you and for me. Ain't the Lord all right? I said one Friday, he humbled and he died on Calvary's cross, but right early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Ain't the Lord all right? And after 40 more days, the Bible says, he caught a cloud and went back to glory. Ain't he all right? And just like he left, he's coming again for the pure in heart. Ain't the Lord all right? I said, he's coming again in this season. Might be the season.
any day might be the day, any hour might be the hour, any moment might be the moment, any cloud might be the cloud, any time might be the time. Ain't the Lord all right? When the trump of God, it shall sound. And when the trump, I feel all right. I say, when the trump of God shall sound, no man can stop his coming. No demon will be able to stop his coming. Ain't the Lord all right? No circumstance will be able to postpone his coming. Ain't the Lord all right? No complication will be able to stop him coming. No power will be able to detain him coming. Ain't the Lord all right? And when he comes, and he is coming again, ain't the Lord all right? Anybody here, you know the Lord is coming. He's coming again, just like he said he would. And when he comes, those who trust in him will be there, and we'll hear him say, servant, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Ain't the Lord all right? You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up, I'm gonna make you ruler over me. Enter into the joy of the master. I don't know how you feel about it, but I wanna enter the master's joy. Ain't it all right? Do you wanna enter the master's joy? I wanna be at peace in my master's joy. I'm gonna be at rest in my master's joy. No more pain in my master's joy. Through me, Jesus, no more pain in my master's joy. No more heartache in my master's joy. No more disappointment in my master's joy. Ain't the Lord all right? No more cries, no more tears, no more trouble in my master's joy. No more dying in my master's joy. Ain't the Lord all right? Ain't he all right? Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Is there
for the master. He'll give you joy. He'll allow you to enter into his joy. Well done, thy good and thy faithful. Use what you have to the glory of God. And when that trumpet sounds, we can enter and we will enter into the joy of our master. And all we can do that is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you've never accepted him publicly, you desire to do so today. Thank you.